Last week, we discussed the gifts that were from the text. There are other places where other gifts are talked about and mentioned, but in this particular place, that's the gifts that we discussed in that particular text. So we learned, and this is very, very important, it'll be reiterated again today, that every one of you sitting in this room has a gift of one sort or another. All of you have a gift. Everyone in this room has got at least one of what we would call the primary gift, something that you would probably see is something that is, you know, being exercised in your life more than at other time, you know, on a regular basis, so to speak. And here's the deal, is that while you're exercising that primary gift that God has given to you, God will then bring to you every other gift, because all of the gifts are for today, but he will then bring you some of the other gifts as you need them while you're exercising that primary gift. And so we discussed that last week. We learned that, you know, we talked about each one of these, the gifts that we're talking about. We learned about the word gifts, or literally the spoken ones, such as the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. I'm saving prophecy for chapter 14, but each one of those are, you know, spoken gifts that we would use. We talked about the supernatural, and even though technically they're all supernatural, but some of the, if you will, the supernatural gifts of the gift of faith, gifts of healings, being able to, you know, lay hands on someone or something and see them healed, and also the working of miracles. We can see that those truly are extraordinary supernatural gifts. So we learned that one of the things that we spent a great deal of time talking about is that each one of these gifts are for the benefit of all, of everyone. So in other words, it begins in our family. It begins with using the gift in your own particular circle, within your home. But it shouldn't stop nor end there. It should move out from that place and go out into the body. It should be exercised. We should be taking the gifts that we have, yes, using them in our homes and saying, yes, I want to grow and develop my children, but then you got to take your gift that God has given to you and make it available to other people within the church, because it is for the benefit of all, of everyone. It is to be used to build up the body, or what we call the church. We are to help out in the church at large by using the gifts, or if you will, the tools for building each other up in our faith. And it's very important that we do that. Now, I tried to explain each one of the gifts based upon their context or the basic meaning of what the gift is, and then also by showing them how they might look in our practical use of them here in our world today, and then trying to show you what they looked like when Jesus exercised those gifts. And so hopefully you saw them, you saw what they looked like, and you began even to discover that, hey, those things are actually happening in my life. I didn't even really realize that was a, quote, gift of the Spirit. So hopefully you began to see that. Now, if that is something that you're interested in, and you should be, because the gifts of the Spirit are very, very important for the work of the ministry, I would encourage you, get the CD if you weren't here last week. Now, with that in mind, he's wrapped up this discussion on the gifts of the Spirit. He's kind of finishing that up. He's going to take us back to another very, very similar place. We've talked about it at other occasions, and I'm going to pose a question to all of you for a moment. He's going to talk about unity in diversity. We've talked about this before. You're going to see as I go through it again today, you're going to say, that sounds very familiar. It's because Paul's dealt with it already. The question that I have for you that you can just kind of percolate on this during our time together today is, why does Paul spend so much time talking about the unity in diversity? Because he talked about it before he explained what the gifts were, and then after the gifts, he returns us back to that same kind of discussion. Why does he spend so much time making that point or driving that point home? You think about that as we kind of make our way through, and at the end of the hour, we'll come back and we'll take a look at it, okay? So, unity in diversity, it is something, it is a theme that will continue to go all the way through chapter 14, but let's take a look at what he says here in our text today. So, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we pick it up at verse 11. He says, now, one And the same Spirit works all these things. What things? All the gifts that he just talked about last week. Distributing to each one individually as he wills. So here we just read where he gives these gifts to each one. So my question to you is, are you in each one? If you are, then you have one of these gifts. So very important as he kind of is moving us. We've talked about the gifts. Now he kind of is going to move us back into a discussion on unity and diversity. First of all, before he takes us there, right on the hot on the feet of the explanation of these amazing gifts, he wants us to understand it's all the Lord. It's all for the Lord. It's all about the Lord. And this is very, very important that we grasp this. It is God who gives. It is God who decides. It is God who is in control of all of these unique gifts of the Spirit. He's the one who decides who receives what gift and when. You can't purchase these things. In other words, you can't go up, you know, to the Bible bookstore and say, yes, I need a new Bible, and can I get a, you know, I'll take that there, that box of Word of Wisdom, please. It's not something you go on the internet and obtain. Now, we can gain an intellectual understanding of what these are, which is what we did last Sunday. We can gain a basic, we can grasp it in our minds as to what these gifts look like, but that doesn't mean, in other words, that you now possess it just because you understand it. It doesn't mean that you are now in control of it just because you've studied it. You understand? And this is probably one of the reasons why, for me personally, that I have a hard time with those gift tests, if you've ever taken one. You know, you fill out a little questionnaire, right, to determine what your gift is. Now, not that they're wrong, don't misunderstand me, but I think that what's basically wrong about those is the premise from which the gift test is given to us. Because it is saying, find out what your gift is, as if we possess something. Or after the end of the test, they tell you, oh, you have this gift. And then we begin to think that we possess and are in control of something. And that's kind of, unfortunately, what those gift tests do. Now, you know, if you took one, you know, and you say, oh my goodness, I took one of those tests. Listen, you're still saved. Don't worry about it, all right? It's okay. But the gifts are supernatural. They're not something that we possess. If you took the test, don't worry about it. But, you know, I've also seen another negative about the test is a couple of things. First of all, we aren't really honest with those things oftentimes, right? We take the test as if it's the person we desire to be. And so then when it's all finished, you look at that, and you look at the answers, huh, I'm a prophet. I better start exercising my gift of prophecy. And so, you know, we can mess that up. Here's the deal. What I have found, you don't need the test. You know what I have discovered? You're usually, whatever the gift that God has already given to you, you're already probably using it. You just don't even know that. What do you love to do? That's what it's all about, you see. That's what it is. And so I wanted you to understand also, and I tried to emphasize it, he gives as he wills, not as we will. In other words, God is the one that determines and decides when we need something. I don't know about you, but I've had times where I am, you know, in a given situation, I'm talking to someone, and I'm going, Lord, I don't know what to say to this person. I have no clue. Lord, I need you. Give me a word of knowledge. Give me a word of wisdom. Lord, is there a Bible verse that I need to give this person? And I come up with a goose egg, right? And I end up standing there going, well, I don't know what to tell you. I'll pray for you. And I come walking away going, I feel like an idiot, right? And I'm thinking, Lord, why didn't you give me the gift that I needed to help that person? And I have found that part of the reason is because God gives it as he wills. And it's almost like God saying, well, Rob, here's the deal. See, if I would have given you that gift at that particular moment of time, that person would have looked to you as if you were somehow special, and you're really not. And so I have someone who isn't up front, and I'm going to use them to minister to that person. Because see, Rob, if you would have done it, you would have taken credit for it. And really and truly, Rob, I give the gift as I will, and you knew you needed it at that particular moment, and for that particular reason, I didn't give it to you, okay? And here's the deal, what I've learned. God is the one that's in control, you see? And we don't have to have all the answers all the time. God can use whomever he wants, as he wills, as he desires. And even if that means that sometimes we have to walk away saying, you know, I'll pray for you because I don't know the answer. Have you ever had that where you're trying to find a verse? It happens to me all the time. I know it's in here somewhere. I know where it's at in my other Bible. And, you know, because we know where it's at on a page. But isn't that funny? And so, as God wills, just keep that. And remember this. All of us have ministries. So what is yours? What is it? As Joel exhorted us this morning, we all have ministries, and we all need the gifts of the Spirit to accomplish what God has called us to do. When we're doing the work of ministry, it's eternal in value. It's work that will go on into eternity, you see? It's not just temporary stuff. It may seem like it, but if we're going to do the work of ministry in the realm of the Spirit, that is going to have repercussions into eternity, then don't you think we need the gifts of the Spirit that God has made available to do the eternal work that we need to do? And so all of us have gifts that we need to do, or ministries, and we all need those gifts. But don't ever forget, it's his work, and he knows what we need. So here's what I have learned. You just be available, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what you've seen on TV, or you may be at that church that you visited at some point in your life, and you saw something that freaked you out. Listen, don't be afraid. If you use the gift that God has given to you, you will get blessed. And more importantly, you'll bless someone else that God wanted to bless within the body of Christ. And it's very, very important. So the other thing that I want to remind you is this. Do you remember when you were a little kid? Remember what it was like? Somebody would give you a present, right? And you remember what it was like? Mom would always tear off the card. Wait till we read the card. Remember when you were a little kid, right? And she would open it up and read it and say, oh, it's from your Uncle Bob. And say thank you to Uncle Bob. You know, and we as kids say, well, I just want the present. And then we'd say, thank you, Uncle Bob. And then we'd tear it. You remember how it was when we were children? Remember that? When you get it, you didn't care who gave you the gift. But isn't it interesting? Because just the other day, Mari's parents saw this Hawaiian shirt. They live up in Oregon. They saw this Hawaiian shirt, and they said, oh, that's got Rob all over it. And since I don't have very many Hawaiian shirts, they mailed this shirt to me, and it was so cool because they told Mari, you know, when we saw it, we just thought of him. And you know what? I got the present, and I got the shirt, and it was cool. It's cool. But you know what's more important to me now is the giver of the gift, because I've grown up, and I've understood, wow, they were thinking about me. Because I can remember when they just wanted to kill me. See? Now they're giving me gifts. See? They've grown too. You see? And so I look at this, I go, wow. See, that shows you and I that we're no longer childish or childlike, only thinking about the gift that we're getting, and we start thinking about who gave it to me. That becomes important to us as we get older. And isn't that interesting that that is what Paul is saying to us about the gifts of the Spirit? Children want, I want the gift, I want the gift. Yeah, I want to play with that. I want to know what it feels like. But yet God is the giver of the gift. Do you see? And he wants us to be more consumed with and concerned with him as the giver of the gift rather than the gift itself. The gift becomes the byproduct of a relationship with the Lord. And if we can keep that perspective, then that means we're growing up as Christians. And the gifts come as God wills and as he desires. We go, wow, this is amazing, Lord. But the purpose and the goal is the giver of the gift. Does that make sense? And so this is something that Paul is exhorting to us. So, as he moves on now, he's going to continue with this theme of unity and diversity. And it gets kind of funny, actually. Look what it says in verse 12. He says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, and so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit." And so Paul now is going to kind of move us again. He's driving home this point, this unity and diversity point, okay? And he uses the human body, it's kind of interesting, as his illustration. So in essence, he is going to show the parallel between our human bodies and what we call the body of Christ, the church. And it's much bigger than just here, but we'll use us, a local body, as kind of an as a part of the illustration. So just as the human body, I mean, just look at your hand for a moment, move your fingers around, and you can see that you have 10 functioning fingers on one hand. But as you may or may not have understood what just happened, well, some of us do. So 10 on one hand, or see what happens when I make a mistake in front of everybody? I really made a good one in first service, too. We'll see how it goes. I might just use that. And you have 10 fingers on two hands, okay? You have an arm that picks up your hand to show you your 10 fingers on your one hand, right? So, you're getting the picture of this, okay? We have arms, we have feet, we have legs, we have ears that hear, we have eyes that see. You understand? And you should be, you're exercising these different components or parts as we're sitting here right now, possibly. If your eyes aren't seeing, your ears aren't hearing, that means you're sound asleep and it really doesn't matter anyway, right? So, but here we see Paul kind of uses this as an illustration of the body of Christ, that there are many different pieces and components sitting in this room right here. And if you take us and put us into the body at large with the body of Christ in China and the body of Christ in Russia and the body of Christ in Germany and at Grace Community and at San Vicente Community and at, you know, Mountain View, and if we understand that we are all a part of the body, but here we are the local body, many different pieces and many different components, and yet, just as our bodies having many different pieces, but we're one functioning body. We should be. And so we should be here as the church. And this is the point that he's trying to make. And so here's the deal. When we don't work together as a team, or when my body doesn't work together as a functioning unit, if all of a sudden something goes wrong, I become spastic, right? If I don't function, if my body doesn't function for one common purpose, we use the term dysfunctional. My body becomes dysfunctional. You see what I mean? See what Paul is explaining here? So here, he uses this story, and I'm glad that my hand is happy being a hand. Aren't you? Aren't you glad that your hand is saying, I'm good. I'm good with being a hand. Because if it decided to be unhappy being a hand, and it decided, you know, I'm going to be a mouth. I want to do the talking. And so all of a sudden, my hand just, I walk around, and my hand just does this as I talk. Right? You guys would look at that and say, the dude's weird. And all of a sudden, you know, I you know, go next door and I get a breakfast burrito, and as I'm going to pop it in my mouth, my hand comes over and goes, right? You would think, the dude's definitely dysfunctional, right? He's messed up. You see, we would look at that and we'd say, that is really weird, wouldn't it? But you see, here we see then, the moment that we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, we receive the indwelling of the Spirit. I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. That unites us together in one Spirit by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That makes us one, even though there's many unique different pieces and parts. the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we become part of each other. We are baptized, or if you will, immersed into the body at the same time. Just as, remember when Jesus, as he is preparing to depart in John chapter 20, and he said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you guys a question. When Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, what do you think they received? Very good, class. They received the Holy Spirit. If Jesus says you're going to get something, you're going to get something. You understand? And so at that moment, those unique guys, different though they were, received the same Holy Spirit. They became one at that particular moment. And so it is when you and I get saved, he breathes on us. We receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God takes you from the outside, puts you into this unique functioning thing called the body of Christ. You now have a purpose and a place because he plugs us into that particular location. It's an amazing thing that God does. So no matter what denomination, no matter what race, no matter what color, you know, the question is, do you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? If you have, you are a Christian and uniquely placed within this living entity called the body of Christ. It's an amazing thing that God has done. Well, continuing on, I kind of got ahead of myself. Look what he says in verse 14 as it gets very humorous. He says, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, is it therefore not a part of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, do you see? Where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? You see? Some of you got that one. That's good. And so here we see then, again, coming back, we must function together, the human body functioning together. The hand must be happy being a hand. But what if my foot decided and it said, you know what? I'm tired of being a foot. I'm tired of being kept in the dark. I'm tired of getting walked on all the time. You know, it stinks being a foot. What if that happened? It's possible, right? It is very, very possible. Suppose that your foot decided to be a nose. It's possible, right? Would you then have a foot-long nose? I know what you guys are thinking. You're such a heel, Rob. This is just a... But you know what? Let me give you guys a quick warning, though. I need to stop right here before it digresses, because here's the deal. If any of you, begin to hear voices coming from various parts of your body, you know what? You got bigger problems than you probably realize. If you can hear your hand talking, you know what? You may want to go over to Grace Community Church with Paul, my buddy over there, you see? So your problems are much greater than you really, really think. And here's the deal. Let me ask you guys a question. When the heart goes on strike and it says, I don't want to function, what do we call that? Heart attack. Can be deadly, can't it? When part of the body decides, I don't want to do that, it can become a real problem, can't it? Listen, I know I shared this with you guys, and it, you know, we have fun with this, but as you guys all know, that, you know, I had an interesting problem. Disease can cause huge problems within the human body. So let's just continue using the illustration of the human body. And I gave you guys a complete Bible study on this a year ago. But for me, my colon, a part of the digestive system, isn't it interesting that there are parts of the body that you don't even really think about until it becomes a problem? When all of a sudden you have a heart attack, you become painfully aware of where your heart is at and what its purpose is. For me, when my colon decided, you know what, I'm not happy doing this any longer. I don't want to deal with this anymore, and I quit. I'm on strike. It was very, very painful to me. Now, it was diseased, right? So what was the fix? What was the goal for that? It needed to be removed because it couldn't be fixed. And a part of my body just said, I don't want to. And it rebelled, and so it had to be removed. Now check this out. After the surgery, you guys remember, I got what they call an ileus. There's this process called peristalsis, whereby you can voluntarily take food, put it into your mouth. The mouth receives it because it's a mouth. You voluntarily swallow it. From that point forward, everything else is involuntary. Remember this story, peristalsis. It goes down into the stomach where the stomach takes in all the necessary nutrients. It digests it, passes it through the small intestine where the small intestine continues to move it forward, taking what it needs from it. And you guys realize this is an amazing thing of evolution. Yeah, right. Okay. Goes completely through all the way into the colon, all the way until it passes through your entire system. Peristalsis. Now, because the doctors touched my small intestine said, oh, you know what? I didn't like that. I'm touchy. And so, you know what? I'm not going to function. I don't want to work right now. Colon's removed because it's diseased. It can't be a part of the body anymore. It was in such rebellion that it said, I don't want to do this. It had to be literally removed and taken out. My small intestine, on the other hand, it just because of it being touchy, it said, you know what? I don't want to do this. So it didn't continue the peristalsis. So it does what they call reverse peristalsis. And it comes back and out. You see, you get the picture. Do you need me more graphic than that? Or is that good enough? Okay. So what had to happen is, okay, you're being put on isolation. So my body said to my small intestine, you're being isolated. While the head, the brain, said, you need to get your act together. And it worked with my little small intestine to where all of a sudden it said, okay. Because it said, all right, you don't want to work. We're not going to send any food to you then. See how you like that? And then all of a sudden my stomach, my small intestine started saying, okay, all right, I'll work with the program. Send the food back. And it began to work again. It's an amazing thing. So one had to be removed. One had to be isolated until it agreed that it was going to work and be a functioning part of the body again. You get the picture here. Isn't this interesting? Is this what you came for? And so here we see then, it's the same thing within the church. Do you get this? There are times when people within the body of Christ say, you know what? I'm in rebellion. I don't want to do it. I want to do my own thing, and I don't need you. And I'm not going to listen to what you have to say. And there are times that kind of sinful disease, a person needs to be removed and taken out of the family or this thing called the body of Christ. But then there are other times where we are just simply touchy. Well, I didn't really like the way that you talked to me. I didn't like the way that you spoke to me. I didn't like the way that that happened. I don't like the decisions that you guys made. So I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to use my gift and be a blessing to anybody else. A little ileus takes place within the body. And all of a sudden, everything's moving, and it hits the area where you're at when you're touchy. Going, well, I don't really like the way you guys do stuff around here. And you know what will happen? The head will say, all right, we're going to isolate you. We're going to give you a chance to repent. We're going to give you an opportunity to change your mind, because if you're going to be a part of this, if not, you become diseased, you get removed. Do you see how this works? And so each of us in the body, you've been given a unique gift. Now, sometimes we get touchy, don't we? Sometimes that happens. And thank God that he is patient with us. The head begins to speak to us and say, hey, you need to change your heart. You need to change your attitude. We need to fix this because you're a part of the functioning part of the body, and we need you. And you need to be a part of this healthy body. And it's amazing. A healthy body will purge out, you know, problems. And so does a healthy church body. It's the same thing kind of happens. And so very, very important that we understand that each one of you, we have a body, that each part has a divine purpose and a divine function. We were created, guys. This stuff doesn't happen by chance. You don't have a brain that can speak. the digestive system alone should tell you we were created, because it didn't have time to evolve. It would never have lasted. It would have starved the entity, you see? God designed us with specific purposes, and so it is with this body that is called the church, the body of Christ. Each one of you, each one of us has been given a divine purpose. Each one of us plays a divine role in the body of Christ. Each one of you has been given a gift and a reason that when he saved you, he didn't just save you to say, okay, I'm just going to let you hang out here. No, he said, here, I'm putting you in the body because you have a purpose and I divinely put you where you're at. Now use that I've given to you. You see, it's an amazing picture. Each one of us is very important, so we just need to discover how God designed us, and then I want to encourage you, just go with the flow. Just go with the flow. Because, you know, here's the deal. I happen to be a mouth, okay? As you guys have already, I talk and I eat. I do what a mouth does, right? And so what is it that, and here's the thing, I love to do that. So what do you love to do? Keep that in your thoughts as we kind of begin to move forward. So now I want you to see how he takes us a different direction. And again, why is he spending so much time on this? Look what it says in verse 18. But now, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all of the members suffer with it. One member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So again, you can see the flow of thought. He's continuing on. Only now he's talking about, again, using the human body as he set this all up, using the human body as his illustration, paralleling that with the body of Christ, right? The body, not only do we each have unique gifts, which we do, not only does my body have, and your body have, unique functions, but each part of our body needs the other parts of our body. They can't be independent of each other. In other words, each part of our physical body needs other parts of our own physical bodies. And so here we then see that with this diversity, with all these different pieces and parts, we need unity. We need each other. We need unity in order for us to function. There must be a balance between the two, because here's the deal. Without unity, we have uniformity. Without diversity, we have uniformity. In other words, the body was designed to have individual functioning pieces, just as the church is. Now, what would happen to a church if we said, everyone has to wear the same clothes, have the same hair, and the same haircut, and we all do the same thing all the time? Did you guys see not long ago where the cult that they caught in Texas? Did you check that out? Did you see how all the women wore the same dresses? Looked like made out of the same canvas, right? And all the men had the same beards, right? There you have that these uniquely gifted people, but without the unity and the diversity blending together, you got uniformity. Everyone must be the same. We all talk the same. We all speak the same. We all dress the same. All the women have their hair the same. The men have the same beards and all that kind of stuff. Where is the life of the body? That's when you have all the body becomes an ear or an eye instead of the multifaceted, multi-pieced part of what is a healthy functioning body, you see? And so they're blending between the two. In order for us to keep life in the body, we must allow diversity, but yet at the same time keeping unity so that each one of us will bring our gifts that we have and put them to use within the church or within the body of Christ so that each one of us will receive the blessing when another part of the body is using their gift. It's amazing. Just as our human bodies are. However, keeping our focus on Jesus, realizing how we need each other, understanding that we all have something to offer. And here's the thing. Let me just share a couple of things with you guys, because after, you know, being a Christian for many years, watching this take place within the body, I want to encourage you in an area. Because I've seen it destroy this beautiful thing that we call diversity, the gifts that God has given to us. And here's what it is. Don't allow your own personal insecurities to ruin this thing that is called the body. We need each other. But if we get to this place where we become insecure with our gift, then what it does and what it has the potential to do is to turn the church into a place of competition instead of a place where we bring our gifts to be able to just give them freely away. See, if in my insecurity, I look at you and I say, ooh, well, I want what you have. I like that gift that you've got. I don't want to just be someone that stands in the background. I want to be someone that's out in the front. I want to be someone that, you know, is doing what you have. And so I want what you have because I am not happy being who God has created me to be. Because of my own insecurity, I want to see and I want to reach out and I want to have the kind of gift that you have. And so my insecurities then will drive me to compete with others within the body. And this isn't supposed to be a place of competition. It's supposed to be a place where we say, God created me uniquely. He gave me a unique gift. He gave me a unique ability. And yeah, it may not be as cool as I perceive what you have. Or it may not be as important from what I perceive that you have, but yet I'm going to make myself available to do what you're doing. Just as Greg and Katrina, as we used them as an illustration earlier, God has given them a passion for kids and for tennis. And so they've made those two gifts work together for the sake of their ministry, which is ministering to kids on the tennis court. You see, earlier in the first service, you know, I don't have the gift of making quilts. I mean, I don't have that gift, right? I don't have the passion. Don't have the desire, right? But here's the deal. Lisa and there's a group of ladies that, man, they made these beautiful quilts that Mari and I are truly enjoying, that they exercised their gift, and, man, we're enjoying it. Now, what if they would have said, oh, but our gift's stupid. This is dumb. I mean, what's a stupid quilt for crying out loud? Who's going to ever appreciate that? Rob, I want what you do. I want to play a guitar like Dan does. And if we allow that insecurity to drive us, then you won't use the gift that you do have because you'll be in competition for what you don't have. Does that make sense? Very important. Very, very important for us that are in the church. Now, that as we look at this and we think, okay, well, wait a minute. If we begin to covet and we begin to compete, what is the natural byproduct of that is division. And that's where church splits come from, you guys. Oh, even in the exercising of the gifts, it's probably been said to you before, oh, so you don't speak in tongues. Well, no. Well, I question if you're even saved or not. Has it been said to you? Some of you are nodding your head. It's been said to me before. And, you know, so it can throw us into this funk to where we go, well, then I got to have that gift. And we get all insecure. And then you have the haves, you have the tongue speakers and the non-tongue speakers. And so now we need to have a new church for the non-tongue speakers because we're insecure because we're not as spiritual as those guys are. And isn't it a trip? We always want to appear to be more spiritual than we really are anyway. That's what a trip So what is the source? What is the place of balance between unity, diversity, get rid of the insecurity, get rid of the competition? What holds this all together? The love of God. That's why chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is in between chapter 12 and chapter 14. You guys thought that was deep, didn't you? Yes, chapter 13 is between 14 and 12. But what is it that is the glue? What is the subject of chapter 13? Love, agape. It's what holds this thing together that we call diversity, and yet unity. It's held together by the love of God, you see. And that's why it's so important that we keep our focus on that particular place. Now, I want to explain verses 23 and 24 because that kind of really... Personally, I don't like those two verses. I'd like to remove them from my Bible, actually, and I'll show you why, okay? Here's using the human body. Think this through with me, okay? Look at what you are wearing today. You have clothing on, all right? You have clothing on. And we cover up the most important parts of the body with clothing. It's important that we do that, okay? So we cover up the most important parts of our body with clothing. Yet, according to the scriptures, the less honorable parts are not covered. You see? The less honorable parts are not covered by the clothing. So it is within the body of Christ. Check this out. The more honorable parts are covered, so to speak. If you will, they're unnoticed, so to speak. So those that are doing works of ministry that no one says, wow, that's amazing, thank you so much. Those people that are just praying behind the scenes, those people that make quilts for other people, those people that are visiting others that, you know, can't get out of their house and nobody knows, you go unnoticed. That's the honorable parts. So what does that mean? The less honorable parts are uncovered. They're the ones that are noticed. What does that look like? What does one of those parts look like? What do you happen to be looking at right now? The exposed part of the body that's not that important. It's not that important to be the mouth and the, if you will, the head and the face and all that. The important part that Paul is saying, this is why I don't like this text, it's dumb. But see, so the people that are behind, the guys behind the pulpit, you see, these are the less honorable parts. The people that are on the stage, they're all coming under the bus with me, okay? But the people that are the less honorable, the ones you don't notice, the ones you're not even sure, they're the ones that God says, oh, those are the ones that are important. Do you see? And so that's what that those two verses mean. It's very interesting. Those of you that minister unnoticed, listen, we need you. And in reality, according to the Word of God, you're more honorable than us people that stand up on the stage all the time. Interesting, isn't it? God has his way of saying, you know what, let's deal a couple of blows to the people up in front because they think they're so honorable. They think they're so needed. But without the unnoticed things going on, we wouldn't even be here. You see, amazing. Well, look at how Paul finishes this. Finishes the parallel as he finishes up. Verse 27. He says, now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. And he's going to rattle off different positions and the gifts. Watch what he says. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings. Helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Now, let me ask you guys a question. Are all apostles? What is the answer to that? No. It's obviously, he's asking these questions. Are all prophets? No. Okay. Are all teachers? No. Okay. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healings? No. Watch this. Do all speak with tongues? Well, wait a minute. I've talked to some of you and you've said, I don't have that gift. So am I somehow sub-spiritual because someone has told me that if I don't have that gift, then I'm not, they question what kind of a valuable Christian I am. Wait a minute. There are those denominations that say everyone should speak in tongues. Hello? What did we just read here? do all speak with tongues? No. So some of you may not ever get that gift. And you know what? That's okay. Do all interpret? But now that doesn't mean that it's not a gift, okay? Don't misunderstand. But look at what he says in verse 31. But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet, I'll show you a more excellent way. As he wraps this thing up, as he's getting ready to take us into the glue that glues these two chapters together, he explains by, you know, if you will, paralleling how God created and the way that God created the body of Christ. Many different parts, many gifts, many positions, yet they all fit into one body. So what does that mean? Not every church has all of these particular pieces. Not every church has, you know, a miracle worker, if you will. Not every church has someone that has these particular gifts. So here's what we must come to the place where we understand. Now, let me say this first. The body of Christ, when we include Grace Community and when we include, Mountain View, and when we put the body together, of course it has all of those components, but each local congregation, each local part of the body may not have all of these things functioning in their church. And that can sometimes, that we look at that and say, oh, how come we must not be doing very well because we don't have anybody, you know, with the gift of healings here. Well, here's the deal. God, who's in control, in his wisdom, puts people in place where he says, this is what they need at that particular place at this particular moment. He knows where they are needed, and he, in his divine wisdom, says, I'm going to put that person with that gift in this body because that's what they need. Do you see? So here's the deal. God knows my weakness. He says, Rob, you're the shepherd, co-shepherd, under-shepherd, literally, of this flock in Ramona that's called Calvary Chapel, this little part of the body. But Rob, you can't do everything because I haven't gifted you to do everything. But what I have gifted you to do, that's what I want you to do. And where you're not gifted, I'm going to bring people that have various gifts. I'm going to bring people that have administrative gifts, and I'm going to put them there with you. I'm going to bring people within the church that love children, that can teach a Sunday school class and minister to the kids. I'm going to bring people that don't mind doing security stuff and watching the parking lot so that we can feel safe and secure while we're sitting in here. I'm going to bring you all the different pieces because you, Rob, don't have those gifts and those abilities. And I don't want them all. I don't like to do all that stuff, you see. And so here, God knows what our weak points are. And he knows that those are who are strong. And isn't that interesting? It's just like a marriage. Have you guys ever figured that out? I mean, we've talked about this before. You know, they have these online dating things where you put in, now again, I know some of you, everybody, every time I mention this, everybody thinks, oh, you're picking on me because I did the online dating. No. Listen carefully, though. What you look for, and if you watch the commercials, they look for, you put in your profile and you look for someone who has everything identical to you. But did you know that's not the way God works? Have you noticed that marriage is made up of opposites? Everybody says, oh, it was love at first sight and love attracted. We just, everything's in common. Listen, Mari and I have been married for 27 years, almost 28. I'm looking at her for affirmation. Good, you hit the number right. Okay, yes. And here's the deal, you guys, check this out. After we got married, of course, there were things that we enjoyed together that drew us together. For instance, you know, I had a motorcycle, she liked riding on the back, so it's been a part of our married life, right? There are certain things that we like to do that we just enjoy doing things together. But then there are many other areas where we are so opposite, it's amazing. She's good with finances. I'm really not. Don't like to do it. I'm a mouth. I'm supposed to talk, right? And so there are areas where she is weak and I am strong. What I said in first service, you guys, and I didn't even know that I said it, so I got to tell you this. I said there are areas where Mari is weak and I am strong, and there are areas where I'm strong and she is weak. And everybody's laughing. I'm going, and they wouldn't stop, right? I'm trying to keep moving on. And I go, what did I do? What did I do? And somebody told me, I said the same thing twice, you know. And the problem is, right? But there are areas where I am definitely weak and she is strong. Listen, man, you think, well, I'm a man. I'm supposed to rule the house. I'm the leader. So I'm supposed to do the finances of the house. And listen, if you don't have a clue, if you don't know how to work a calculator, and your wife knows how to do that stuff, and she has a degree in finances, don't be an idiot. Let her use her gift, right? And there are many areas where you will find that you have a weakness or an area where you're just not very gifted. And isn't it interesting that oftentimes that's where your spouse is stronger than you are? Have you ever noticed how when you're down, she's up? And when she's down, you're up. You see, and that's how God uses us to work with each other. And that's the way it is in the body of Christ. God has brought all of these pieces and parts together so that way everyone has a place, because your gift fits into a place that there is a weak spot within this congregation. And we need your strength to fill that weak spot, or else it remains a weak spot within the congregation if you don't exercise it. That's why I want to encourage you to exercise that, the gift that you have. And so Paul says, so earnestly desire the best gifts. What does that mean, right? Are there some better than others? Is one gift better than another? Well, it sounds like as Paul is wrapping this up I think that there is, because as he talks about the more excellent way. But listen, I think what Paul is saying, desire God's best for you and don't settle for second best. What is it the best that God has for you? Now, find out what that is and go out there and use it. And don't ever think that you don't have a gift, or maybe that the gift you have is no good. Well, my gift's stupid. You know, I mean, I literally had someone say, well, Rob, you know, I mean, what is my gift? I mean, I don't have a gift. I said, really? What do you love to do? Well, I'm a very social person. I like, you know, talking to people. But I mean, what's that? And I said, that's awesome. We've got ladies and, you know, that are sitting here at home, widows in this fellowship, that would love to have somebody come and just talk to them and hang out with them. So are you willing to exercise that gift? You see, even if you might look and say, that's stupid. I talk to people. We need you. We have a weakness there. We got people that need to be talked to, you see. So we need you to use your gift. And so you do have a gift, and it is of value. And so I encourage you to find out what it is that God has given you to do, and then you go for it. And when you're using your primary gift, then God will give you the other ones that you need. And it's almost, I mean, you get this feeling like Paul can't wait to move to the next subject. It's amazing. He's, I can't wait to tell you this. And so we'll get into that part next week. But let me come back to the question that I posed to you at the very beginning of the service. Why has Paul spent so much time talking about this particular subject? Before, he talked about the gifts of the Spirit. He talks about the gifts. Now, after, he's talking about unity, diversity, yet being together. Before he got to them, let's be together. We're all different. We're all unique. We all need to use the gifts that God has given to us. Before and after, and in the middle of that, he houses the gifts. Why in the world did he spend so much time on that subject, housing around the gifts? Isn't that interesting? Look what it says back at verse 25. He says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Have you ever noticed how you can get a splinter in your finger, right? Even some of the times a little tiny, little small, little metal one. Can't even hardly see it, but you can feel it. And have you ever noticed how that just totally messes up virtually all parts of your body? You touch it, and your whole body jumps from one little tiny splinter in your finger. So I believe that the reason Paul has spent so much time talking about this Remember what's going on. Paul is writing to a church that is having problems. And so here they began to experience the wonderful beauty of the gifts of the Spirit. And what did they do? They turned them into toys to play with like little kids. They turned them into muscles to flex like little kids. And they forgot to see the giver of the gifts. And they lost sight of what was going on. Instead, they became selfish and self-centered. And that's why Paul says, all right, guys, listen, God wants to do this amazing work. He knows we're selfish. He knows we're insecure. He knows that, you know, we can become self-centered. And so he says, I'm going to talk to you about the gifts, and the gifts are very important. But guys, don't forget the giver of the gift. Don't forget that the gift isn't about you. The gift is about sharing with each other. The gift is about taking your gift and finding the weakness within the body and plugging it in there. Because if we become selfish, if we become self-centered in and with the gifts, it becomes a real problem. And Paul knew that. That's why he spent such a great quantity of his time discussing getting our eyes off of ourselves, onto one another, onto the Lord, to make sure that the gift is being used the way that God designed it to be. I find it fascinating, because as I was reading, I'm going, wow, Lord, why? You spent so much time talking about that. And basically the Lord said, well, Rob, because you're so self-centered. It could become a real problem when you want to touch the glory, when we want to take the glory for what God is doing, when we desire what everybody else has instead of just saying, God, you created me unique. You designed me with a purpose. What is that purpose, Lord? And I want to plug that into the body, whatever that may be. And if we will do that, the gifts are amazing. It's an amazing ride. It's an amazing thing, serving the living, eternal King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What an amazing privilege God has given to us. Do we really believe that? If we do, man, get out there and use the gift that God gave you. What is it that you love? What is it that gets your heart going? What is it that, you know, you truly look at and say, I really enjoy that? And find a way to say, okay, well, where does that fit? Now, I will tell you, not always does what you love to do fit within a body, all right? Well, Rob, I really love riding a stationary bike. So how does that fit in the body, right? You know, there's probably more than just that, okay? And I will tell you this, sometimes God will stretch us. Mari and I have talked about this on many occasions. Maybe you can look at what options or what opportunities does God keep bringing your way? You understand? Because that may be what he's gifted you to. But Rob, let's just hypothetically suppose that he's using you to teach in various areas. And you go, but I don't like to teach. But people keep asking me. Well, that's a very good chance that God has given you the gift. And watch to see, do people get blessed by it? If so, that's awesome. Maybe we just don't like, you know, a part of the process. Our own insecurities get in the way of part of the process. So maybe it's not absolutely every time we're going to love what we do. But God's not going to make you do something you absolutely hate. Right? Well, you know, Rob, one thing I don't like, you know, and we've talked about this before because I see Cassie sitting back there. I don't like, you know, bugs, and I don't like dirty little kids. Okay? Well, God's not going to send you to Africa with Cassie then. Cassie, on the other hand, happens to love that stuff. Not a big deal to her. I'll throw another one at you real quick, and then I'll be finished, okay? It's interesting. If you guys haven't noticed, Josh, you know, our Josh, likes to fix stuff. Right? It's his gift. Really is. So we were down at Mexico at Christmas time, right? And I saw Ron's Coke machine sitting there, and they, you know, they're opening and closing the door. They're just using it for storage. And I said, well, what's wrong with the Coke machine? I don't know. Well, we happen to have somebody with a gift. Josh, would you look at it? He determines that something's wrong with the change machine because it's set up for U.S. change and not pesos. So he comes back to this side, goes on the internet, finds one that takes pesos, calls Ron, says, hey, I got the part. It's ready to be fixed now. So is that a stupid gift? Is that, well, I don't have any gifts. I mean, I fix stuff. You see, Josh found a way to say, I fix stuff, and I can use this to minister to the body of Christ down at Xochimilco, and I can get one down there and get it when it's all done. It'll be able to take pesos, and they're going to get blessed. What is it that you do? What is it you like to do? Use it. Go for it. Jump in. The water's fine. Trust me, okay? Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you, God, that you have gifted us uniquely. You've given us such amazing opportunities to be able to be employed by the King of Kings. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you've stirred our hearts. Lord, may you raise up an army out of this room that is willing to do the work of ministry that you called us to do. We give you our morning. In Jesus' name, amen.